John, and all right, thanks for that, Brother John, and I was a little confused. I got here a special number, Sharda, singing, but are you up, Brother Sharda, for a solo? No? Okay. Sorry, we need to change this, Brother John. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here, and we're going to be in Titus chapter 2 tonight, if you want to turn your Bibles there. It's an honor and privilege to every time to come up here and preach, and it's been a good day so far. I say so far because I'm up to preach, and so we had heard a great message this morning. I was able to take a nap, and then after the service, I was able to take another nap. I'm kidding, Brother Pastor Phil. And then the West Tigers won today. How about that? And any Titans fan today? Gold Coast Titans? No? Brother Ron? No? Okay. All right. So no one's got any. Anyway. Titus chapter 2. Thank you again. And it's been a great day, and I've enjoyed being in the Lord's house today. Appreciate that message, Pastor Phil. And hasn't Pastor Phil just done a great job? And it's just been awesome hearing his messages for the past few months. And he does a lot of work around here, and we don't see a lot of it. It's just very behind the scenes. And I just want to let you know we appreciate you, Pastor Phil, just all the work that has just been put in for the past couple months. And the Lord's just truly blessing the team that we have here at Good Shepherd. And continue to pray for the group in TNS down in Sydney. I heard they're having a revival, so we're expecting great things from them when they come up here, okay? We've got a whole list of things for them to do. But I wanted to take advantage of this time that we don't have the young adults, just to speak to the gray hairs tonight, okay? Those with gray hairs, okay? And I've got a couple, all right? So I'm part of that. I'm part of that elite team tonight, okay? So I'm right, Jan, and I'm preaching mainly to you, Jan, so I want you to listen, take notes, and I want you to pay attention. But I want to preach a message, and it's going to be more of a preventative message, nothing to... it's a trend that I'm seeing predominantly in the States. And here in our church, we have a great team of young adults, don't we? And they do a lot here at the church, and we have a great... And don't take that for granted. We have a great group of young adults, but we've got to be careful that we don't follow the trend that we're seeing, at least in America. And I want to talk to you tonight about that. I've entitled this message, Bridging the Generation Gap. Bridging the Generation Gap, the biblical call for older believers to the next generation. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pray. And then we'll get started with the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the honor and privilege to be able to open your word in this country. Having the freedoms, Lord, to just to practice and to live out, Lord, that you've commanded us to do. I pray, Lord, that we would be careful to not take it for granted. I pray, Lord, that as we do have the freedoms, that we observe the things that you have for us in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, older generation, Lord, to see the need that we have and the responsibility that we have towards the younger generation. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help me tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with thy spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would give me clarity of mind. I pray, Lord, that you would just use me as a mouthpiece tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would, this may not be for everyone tonight, but maybe perhaps this would be something that we could take home and remember, Lord, when if the day comes or when the time or season comes, Lord, that we would remember this message, Lord, that you had for us tonight. Lord, bless your people tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk tonight about this thing of a generation gap. And what do I mean about a generation gap? I believe it does exist in our society today. A generation gap refers to the differences that we have in opinions, values, attitudes, and behaviors between one generation and another. And if you've watched the news long enough, you can see that. If you've ever been on social media long enough, you can see that there's a disconnect or there's a gap there, especially between younger people and their parents or even their grandparents. Now, a lot of these are attributed to perhaps our experiences, right? Those in the around my age, no, I say my age, but those older, you know, who are used to, you know, walking 15,000 kilometers to school every day and growing up on a farm and learning how it is to work, you know, I mean, the hard yakka life and those who grew up in our generation now. And each generation grows up under different social, economic, and even technological conditions. I've heard so many times, man, technology, man, that's a curse from the devil. Well, did you walk to church this morning? You didn't, so you used technology to get, well, except for Mrs. Blake. I mean, she doesn't have to travel very far. But through our life experiences, there's some differences that perhaps attributes to this generation gap. We have changes in values and norms. What one generation considers normal or respectful may differ greatly from another's. The use of technology again, I mean, younger generations now, I mean, my three-year-old knows how to change the settings on my iPad, and she knows how to work that thing, and we're just quickly just moving forward with new technologies and further widening the gap in that generational gap. There's cultural and political views. Each generation tends to develop its own views on issues like politics, gender roles, work, and education. And there's a lot of this going on in our society today. There's a notable generation gap that exists among church Christians today, with younger generations showing significant difference in patterns of their religious beliefs, in their identity and their participation when it comes to the service to God. There's some research that has been done in the U.S. of some of the decline that has happened over these generations. There's a decline in Christian identification among the youth. In the U.S., only 46% of adults aged 18 to 24 identify as Christians, compared to the 80% of adults aged 74 and over. And that's a big difference. That's almost double. There's a rise in religious nuns, like, I don't have a religion. And of course, here in Australia, we're not different. We're not any different. We've got a lot of those that don't identify to any religion at all. In church attendance, only about 25% of young adults attend religious services at least monthly, compared to 49% of seniors. There's a decline in the Generation X. Among the 39 to 57-year-olds, weekly or online worship attendance fell from 41% in 2020 to 28% to 2023. That's in 3 years. That's a very, very steep decline. There's a shrinking in Christian majority. In Pew's Religious Landscape Study, it shows the Christian share of the U.S. adult population dropped from 78% in 2007 to 71% in 2014, and then down to 62% in 2023 and 2024. And the young people are driving the change that is in the world today. And it's trending, and it's trending at least in America. In our church, we're very fortunate to have a great team of young adults in our church, but we've got to be careful that I won't get ahead of myself, but what we need to just be careful in this matter of the generation gap. It's not simply about church attendance. It reflects even deeper differences in self-identification as you know, identifying as a Christian, in religious behavior, in prayer or worship attendance, and even spiritual priorities, with many younger people emphasizing personal spirituality over organized religion. And these shifts are reshaping churches. It's prompting questions about outreach, intergenerational dialogue, and how religious communities adapt to evolving needs. There's a massive gap in our society today. And I believe that there is a huge generation gap that is affecting the cause of Christ for the worse. And we need to turn the tides on this trend. And it's trending, as you see, and perhaps a lot in the Western world. And if it's happening in the U.S., it's going to happen here. But we can stop that. There's a lot of generation gaps in the Bible. We know Eli and his sons, right? Hophni and Phinehas. Eli was a priest who served God faithfully, a great man of God. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were also priests, but were corrupt. They were disrespecting God's offerings and engaging in immoral behavior. Eli rebuked them, but they ignored it, okay? Ignored him, and God ultimately judged the family. And a moral and spiritual divide. Eli's reverence for God contrasted with his son's irreverence and abuse of their role. Such a big generation gap there. We know Samuel and his sons. Samuel was a prophet and a righteous leader. His sons, however, did not follow his ways and accepted bribes, perverting justice. This failure of leadership led Israel to demand a king. Okay, leadership values and moral integrity weren't passed down, resulting in a shift in national governance. And that's where it all started when we started having kings and such. David and Absalom. David, he was a man after God's own heart, right? His son Absalom rebelled against him and tried to take his throne. Their relationship was just marked by conflict after conflict, misunderstandings, and a tragic end. We know what happened to Absalom, okay? And differences in leadership approach, justice, and family discipline there. Rehoboam and the elders. After Solomon's death, his son Rehoboam became king. He ignored the wise advice of older counselors and followed the harsh counsel of younger peers, increasing the people's burdens. This led to the kingdom splitting into Israel north and Judah south. The disregard for elder wisdom and overconfidence in youthful peers led to national division. There was some of this generational gap that was happening in the Bible. And in our society today, we've got to be careful as the gray hairs, okay, I'm there too, amen, the older generation, that we do not let this happen and that we bridge this gap and we're able to pass on the legacy that God has given to us onto our children. You know, our legacy has a great power. And it's like a relay race. Anyone ever seen a relay race before? I've been involved in a relay race. I was the weak link of the relay. I'm not a very good runner, okay? What takes you one step takes me two steps. At a marathon, I am number one the first 50 meters, and then after that, I'm on the ground. But a relay race is very important, okay? Because the baton needs to be passed on. And if it doesn't get passed on, the race doesn't get finished, okay? In the same way, our faith must be passed on from one generation to the next, okay? And we need to ask ourselves, what sort of spiritual legacy are we leaving for those who are coming after us? What sort of legacy are we leaving for our children? What sort of legacy are we leaving for the young people here in our church here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church? Psalms 145 verse 4 says, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." God has designed our church to be multi-generational in a place where older saints, okay, are able to strengthen and guide the younger generation, okay? Now, looking to Titus, the book of Titus, I'm not even there. If you're there, say amen. All right, thank you. Three of you there. Titus, beginning with verse 2, it says here that the aged men, who are the aged men? That's the older generation, right? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in favor as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Here we find in Titus chapter 2, and in these verses, he's directing to the aged men and the aged women. According to this, Paul, he gives instructions to the older men and the older women. And he tells them, hey, you've got to set the example for the younger generation. He says, look, aged men, hey, you older men, I want you to be sober. I want you to make sure that you are right on and you're not just sober is the opposite of being drunk, right? Of being not right-minded. And God wants us, aged men, to be sober. He wants us to be grave. He wants to be temperate. He wants us to be sound in faith and in charity and love, okay, and in patience. And aged women also ought to behave in holiness and not false accusers. Not false accusers. You know, ladies, our children listen to us, right? And they listen to everything that on the ride to church, on the ride from church. What example are we setting to the children when we say the things that we do, okay? It says here that aged women not to be given to much wine and teachers of good things. You know, we must ask ourselves, what are we modeling to the younger generation? You know, teachers, you know, we carry a big responsibility as we teach the younger generation, right? Not only do we have a big responsibility to be able to divide the word rightly and to be able to tell the truth, but we need to make sure that in our lives that we're that walking epistle, that we're being that good testimony to the ones that are younger. Because if those things don't line up, okay, then the kids are going to be very, very confused. They're going to say, wow, you're teaching this, but you're living this way. And we've got to be careful that we live in the godliness and in the things that we teach our young people and the things that we're preaching. What are we modeling for our younger people? Would the younger believers be drawn to Christ by observing us? If we were the only epistle that they ever read, okay, would they grow in God's grace? Would they grow in the way that God would have them to grow? We need to ask that question. We need to be like a lighthouse, okay? Somebody mentioned, I think it was Pastor Phil, his dad was a lighthouse. Was it your dad? Because his head always beamed, right, as a light. Is that, I'm telling it wrong, aren't I? Anyway, we don't have to be that kind of lighthouse. But we ought to be a lighthouse, you know. It may not speak, but it guides. It guides them in the right direction, okay? Your example may save someone from spiritual shipwreck, okay? We've got to be careful, older believers, how we live our lives, and we've got to model godliness for the next generation, okay? Next point here, Titus chapter 2, moving on from verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. You know, this is not just a suggestion, this is a command. God commands us to be these things. God commands us to teach these to the younger generation. And if we don't teach the younger generation, then there's going to be a massive generation gap. And those statistics that we just read is going to be true to life here in Australia. And our young people, they're on fire right now. They're doing a great job and they're involved in a lot of things and they've got that fire in their belly right now. But we've got to be careful as a young, older generation that we are living and we are teaching and training them the things that they need to learn. They need more preaching. They need more mentoring, okay? We need to teach them, we need to exhort them, and we need to guide them. What does 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 say? It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice." Timothy's spiritual foundation was built by his mother and grandmother, and we've got to do the same. We've got to pass down a living, breathing faith. We'd all love to have a Timothy, wouldn't we? We'd love to have a Timothy that becomes a preacher, or we'd love to have a Timothy that has that faith that is unfeigned, unwavering, and always on task, moving forward for God. But man, Timothy had a godly mother and also a godly grandmother. Wouldn't that be a great legacy to leave for our children? For our children to say, hey, my mother and my grandmother were great Christians of the faith. And we've got to continue teaching and passing on the things that we have learned to the younger generation. Next point. I'm moving along real quickly. All right. Older believers must encourage and leave a godly legacy. 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory." Paul compares himself to a spiritual father, one who exhorts, one who comforts, and one who challenges others to walk in obedience. Older believers have walked longer roads and can provide strength to those just beginning their journey. I want you to think of your faith as a torch. And who's all seen Pastor's Olympic torch in the office? Everyone seen that? Not everyone's seen it? All right. He was able to, for Sydney 2000, he was able to carry the torch for one of the legs. And that's a great honor. I'd love to have that, but I wouldn't last, you know, 1 kilometer. But man, I want you to think of your faith as a torch. And if you don't pass it on, the flame goes out in your generation. We've got to be spiritual fathers to the younger generation. As a father to his own children, we've got a great responsibility to be able to teach them what we've been taught in our lives, right? We've got a great responsibility to impart all the knowledge and all the wisdom that perhaps our father had passed on to us and our mother had passed on to us, all the great influences in yesteryear in the church have all passed on to us. And as we fathers, we pass that on to our children, we've got to make sure that we're passing that on to the rest of the generation that we have influence over. And if you work with the young children, and if you have any influence among them, if you're in this church, you have influence on the young people. As we go out and we fellowship and we talk to young people, we have influence. As we ask them how their day was, or if they're going through a tough time, we have influence on their lives, and we've got to be extra on purpose to give and give good advice and to exhort the young people and to comfort them and to challenge them to walk in obedience to God. We've got a very, very big responsibility as the older generation to be able to pass on that which we have learned onto the next generation. So how do we live this out today? What can we do to be able to pass on the things that we've learned? How can we pass on this torch? How can we pass on the baton? The baton, that's the Aussie way. How do we pass on the legacy that God wants us to leave to the next generation? Because if we don't, okay, then there won't be much of our churches in the next generation. They're all going to dwindle. It's all going to be gone. And they're going to follow a trend that is happening even in America. Well, the first thing we can do is be intentional. Be intentional. Hey, older folks, find a younger person, okay? Find a younger person in the church and invest in them spiritually. You might find a young adult or even a teenager perhaps just needs that extra boost of encouragement. Maybe an extra guidance that perhaps they're not receiving anywhere else. Find somebody and pray for them. Pray for them regularly. You might not be able to pray for every single person, but you might say, you know what, I'm going to invest in Reese Tingston because he really, really needs it, okay? So all of you write his name down? No, he's a great son. But find a young person and invest in them spiritually. Pray for them. See how they're doing. See how they're doing in school. See how they're doing at work. See how they're doing in church. And invest in them. Be intentional on the things that in trying to influence a younger person. That is one way that we can pass on the legacy that God wants us to pass on. The next thing, tell your testimony. Share how God has been faithful to you in the trials and joys of life. I'm going to embarrass Jan a little bit, and I've had the joy just to kind of work at Southland Baptist Productions now. We're very fancy nowadays. But I was able to film an interview of Jan. And of course, you all know me as a newbie, right? I'm just a new guy and I'm still learning. I introduced myself to someone this morning and we apparently knew each other for 6 months. And when I said, thank you for coming, it's good to see you again. But I'm the newbie, okay? But man, I'm learning as I'm learning and being around people, and I love being at P&G and learning a lot about. You know, we poke a lot of fun at Brother Dave, but man, what a testimony, amen. Just his life, and if you ever get to sit down, and perhaps every one of you have sat down and listen to just his testimony. And it's just great, and just being around a lot of you folks and learning your testimonies. But I had the opportunity to listen to Jan a little bit and listen to her story. And I think, man, what a legacy has she left and working in the printing business. I didn't know that. And being able to use the talent that she has for God and using it here at SBP. And that did something for me. And I thought, man, if Jan is able to, at her age of 57, right? 57, same age as Shada, and at that age, being able to still serve God in the capacity that she does, that does something for me. And I think that in itself, just sharing your testimony of how God's used you in your life, how that can encourage another young person. We had the honor of having a, not 57, right, 58, is it? All right. We had the honor of Brother Andrew Steers, and I've known him for over 20 years, and just the little impact that he had in my life over 20 years ago, and seeing his test. I can't complain when I see Brother Andrew Steers. I can't complain. Whenever I do complain, I think of him. And he doesn't like to ask for help a lot because he wants to do everything himself. But man, what a testimony of his faith. And hearing his testimony and hearing what God is doing in his life, it does something for me and I'm using myself as a young person now, okay? I'm a little, I've just gone over the 40 mark, okay? Some of you are thinking, 40? Wow, I thought you were 50. But hearing the testimonies of the generations that have gone past. And, you know, coming in as a newbie and hearing the testimonies, hearing about Mrs. Blake's story. Everyone has a story with Mrs. Blake, okay? And good stories, all good things. And just hearing those things, and I think, wow, what a testimony of faithfulness. And as I get to hear and know every single one of you and hearing your story and how God has used you and how God has helped you in your faith, that does something for me. And how much more will that do something for the younger generation that we have in our church? You know, folks, the young adults need that in our lives. They don't need us to just sit down and shut up. They need us to tell the goodness of God. They need us to tell them about all the trials and the tribulations that we've gone through and how God was able to deliver us through those things. They need us to tell them all the stories of the times that we wanted to quit and we said no. Our young adults need those. They need us to tell those stories. And you might think, well, they don't want to hear my story. they always turn off. They always look away and say, oh, here we go again. Pastor Phil telling his stories when I was in the military, when I was in PNG. Hey, those are great stories too, okay? They're okay. And hearing those, they need this. And it encourages them, and we'll never know what sort of effect that has in their lives until they're older and realize, wow, that was good advice. Wow, that was a great testimony. There are some things that were told to me when I was young and I thought, man, this is boring. It's just another older person telling me their war stories and their life. But at this stage in life, I think, wow, that helped me and I didn't know it. Folks, we've got to tell the younger generation of how God worked in the past in your life. Tell them your testimony. Tell them what God did in your life. We owe it to them. God commands us to do that. The next thing, live what you teach. Younger generations, they value authenticity, okay? Don't just speak the truth, live it, okay? Be fair dinkum, okay? Look how Aussie I am, all right? Using Aussie words. Don't pretend to be somebody you're not, okay? Parents, your children know who you are. We've got to be careful with our children that we live what we preach and the way we, if we act differently here in church as we do at home, they'll see that. And that's not passing on the torch. That's not passing on the baton. We've got to be careful that we live what we preach and what we say that we believe, okay? The last thing here, serve in or pray for ministries that bridge generations. The youth, the children, the young adults, and the family ministries. You know, coming into church, who all saw all the young people? All the youth fives and six? Okay, only two people. Wow, there's a lot of them, guys. There's a lot. I don't know how you missed it, but just seeing all those young people, and they're about to go on a 50-hour road trip. I don't know how far it is, but these are all young people that need an older generation that will teach them the right things. But they need the right influence. All those teachers that are going to be influencing the children that are going on this trip, have we prayed for them? I don't know if your children have gone. My child didn't go because she went last year to Canberra, and it's an expensive trip. But do we pray for the school? Do we pray for the teachers? Do we pray for the children's ministry? Do we pray for Brother Jabez? Because he needs a lot of prayers, by the way. No, I'm kidding. You do. We all do. But have we prayed for them? Because they're the ones influencing our children. Have you helped with serving with some of these? Because these are things that is going to help bridge that generation gap and to be able to pass on the things that we've been learned when we grow up. Guys, you might say, well, I'm old now. I'm done. I've run the race. I'm all good, okay? I've been there, done that. I've bought the T-shirt, okay? I'm too old for that now. But folks, the cause of Christ is bigger than any of us. It's bigger than just one person. And we need to do all we can so that God's causes continue on throughout all generations, or we'll find ourselves having a generation that knew not God. Wouldn't that be a bad testimony? Folks, the church is a family, not a crowd. The body of Christ is strongest when every generation is honored and engaged. I love walking into the cafe, even when it's closed, amen, and seeing all the older generation. I think of all the stories that they perhaps tell each other, and think of what God has done in their life. And I think, wow, these faithful men and women who just continued on in their lives, continued serving God, not quitting. But let's not keep that to ourselves, folks. Let's share those things. We don't think we want to hear it now, but we need to hear those stories. We need to hear those testimonies. We need to hear those encouragements. We need to hear those teachings. We need those exhortations, those edifications. We need all those, okay? Older saints are not sidelined in God's kingdom. They are essential. Remember what Paul said, 2 Timothy 4:7? He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Our prayer should be that we too can finish our race well and that we've handed off the baton of faith to those who will carry it forward. How about an older generation? I include that myself. I didn't realize how old I was until I saw the couple of white hairs that is on my chin now. Very distraught. But I'm getting up there. And I think, what have I left with my children? As a father, I thought, do my children all know the stories of how God put me through Bible college? How God saw fit to answer my prayers time and time again when I was in time of need? And I thought to myself, what am I leaving for my children? And we need to kind of dig deep in our lives and think to ourselves, what are we leaving for our children? Have we, my son, he's 13, 14, and he's ready to go get a driver's license and get a full-time job and get married and make me a grandfather. Can you imagine? And I thought to myself, what have I left with him? And it's a very convicting thing, okay? Who's going to teach our children? The friends in the world? The TV? Their friends at school? What are we leaving for our children? We need to bridge that generation gap. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word again, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this perhaps may be something that we can take home and think real deeply in our lives and think, are we doing well when it comes to training the next generation? What have we left for our children? What have we left for the younger generation, Lord? Lord, we know we are spoiled having young adults that are serving and are doing great things for you. Lord, help us not to take this for granted, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to help us as the older generation to teach, to exhort them, to comfort them, to train them, to pray for them, to tell them our stories, to invest in them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we just not let off, but as the days go even more evil, that we do it the more, Lord, and we invest in our younger generation the more, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be able to leverage this gap that we have in our generations, and help us to be able to leave a legacy, Lord, that is well-pleasing in your eyes. Lord, we love you. We pray that this was honoring and glorifying to your name, and help us to have a good evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.